Now, the next series of questions are more about the roots and the poles and things like that. We tried to keep these in categories to keep them organized, and that way the repetitive questions come right after one after the other.
Okay.
So, can you please provide more details on the number and location of the larger size transmission poles? You assert the number has been reduced, but more specifics need to be provided.
So, I'm going to refer this questioner out to our open house. The open house has lots of details as to structure heights, structure locations, the number of structures. I think that's the best source for information on this point.
Okay, this question goes both to the company and I suppose to the site evaluation committee. Will the site evaluation committee be comparing the environmental impacts of the project and make comparisons between overhead and underground construction? And then the next question is, which has the greater environmental impact? I am sure that the site evaluation committee will consider all of the environmental impacts. That's in their charge, what they're supposed to do. And to the extent that that involves overhead and underground, they will do that. Obviously, I don't sit on the committee, so I can't tell you how they will do it or what will be more important or less important to individual members of the committee. But I can tell you that consideration of the environmental impacts of the project is one of the core requirements that the site evaluation committee must consider. And then which has the greater environmental impact? I'll throw that out to the company. I don't know. From the site evaluation committee standpoint, that's a determination that's yet to be made based upon the evidence that they hear. But from the company standpoint, which has the greater environmental impact, burial or overhead?
So I think Ms. Carboneau described some of the environmental impacts of our currently proposed route. You know, when we looked at, for example, underground construction in our existing right-of-way and compared that to overhead construction in our existing right-of-way, it was clear to us that the environmental impacts of that, meaning the underground construction, are much more significant than overhead in terms of wetlands impacts, the need to blast through the White Mountain National Forest, the number of trees that would have to come down, et cetera. So in that instance, we believe our current route has fewer environmental impacts than an all underground route in our existing right-of-way.
Next question is about the route and the towers as well. The towers coming into Deerfield are supposed to be approximately 135 feet tall. After the power leaves Deerfield, how tall will the towers be then, and what path through southern New Hampshire will the towers go? What towns will they go through?
So the Northern Pass project, as I indicated earlier, terminates in Deerfield. So there are no, there's not a new line being built south or in any other direction from Deerfield associated with Northern Pass. And I think the question is correct. I think, you know, the tower I showed in the view simulation, I believe that was 130 feet.
Next question is similar. Where does the route go after Deerfield?
Northern Pass terminates at the Deerfield substation.
Yeah, I just would add to that Deerfield is a strong point on the network where there are enough lines leading away from Deerfield that the power can be taken away and distributed across New England under a myriad of system conditions, you know, weather conditions, other generation on and off. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted that to be the delivery point.
Let me change that question around a little bit because I think I know what's confusing me. But you mentioned before there'd be some upgrades on the what's been referred to as the Merrimack Valley Reliability Project. I guess the question is, does all the power from Northern Pass go down that corridor, or are there other lines that goes out?
No, the upgrades I was referring to earlier also are not related to Merrimack Valley Reliability Project. These are on an existing line that runs between Deerfield and Londonderry. But as Mr. Munch just indicated, you know, we chose Deerfield because there are numerous paths for this power to take in multiple directions. So you know, the power flows into Deerfield, enters the grid, and flows in many different directions depending on system conditions. In some instances, it might flow into Massachusetts. In other instances, power flows from Massachusetts into New Hampshire. This power could flow to Maine, could flow elsewhere. So it's one interconnected grid.
Yeah, just add to that, the specific line upgrade that we were required to do because of Northern Pass is a result of applying to ISO New England and saying we'd like to connect this project at Deerfield. What do we have to do to the system so that we do no harm to the system, we do no harm to existing generators, and that we're able to connect, you know, to the system and cause no problem under a myriad of conditions. They take the system and they run, you know, with high-powered computers, they run numerous scenarios, they simulate all kinds of system conditions, generation patterns, future, you know, retirements, and they blend all that together, and they come back and they tell us, you know, and it's very specific, this line occasionally will get up to such and such a power level, and you're going to need to raise 5 of the poles, you know, another 5 feet to ensure that on the hottest summer day when that line is running at its highest power because Seabrook just tripped off and the system is loaded in such and such a manner, you want to make sure you have the safety clearance on that line. So it's, you know, it's very specific and precise and analyzed by ISO, and they give us the system upgrades that we need to do to connect any generator, which this looks like. For ICE, you know, to ISO, gets that same analysis, and you get the list of things that you have to do to the system that are beyond your project. And this line is one of them.
The upgrades that Mr. Muntz is referring to, those are the 10 structures that I was alluding to in the presentation that have to be raised on average about 5 feet. So in the scheme of things, for a project this size with this large a delivery of electricity, those are very modest. You know, which is why we chose Deerfield. It's a very robust delivery point on the New England electric grid.
Please discuss if the course of three rivers were changed to make this hydropower.
Mr. Muntz?
This hydropower is coming from the Hydro-Quebec system power. They've got 40,000 megawatts of power. We're not getting power from any specific asset that they have up there. They've just completed one large project. They don't have any under construction or in the near-term planning horizon that we're aware of. So it's hard to specify that this power comes from, you know, a particular dam or set of dams that change course of said river. And it's really system power from HQ. It will be hydropower. Their system is 96% hydro, and we'll get a certification for each megawatt that says it came from a hydro station.
Excuse me. Will, quote, danger trees, unquote, be cut along the Deerfield right-of-way beyond the limits of the right-of-way?
So this refers to our kind of vegetation management program, which is critically important in ensuring the reliability of our system. You know, as you probably are aware, you know, trees, when they come down on power systems, you know, cause interruptions. So, you know, and we typically stay at the bounds of our right-of-way. To the extent there is a tree outside of our right-of-way that is a so-called danger tree because it's diseased or dying, or poses an immediate threat to the grid, we will work with the local property owner to hopefully seek removal of that before it comes down and creates a power outage. So danger trees are those that really do create risk for customers who are served by the electric infrastructure.
Next question is about the route, but appears really to go to the engineers. Is the designed intent of the project to support a second DC line and additional AC line? The buried X sections shows 2 each of 8-inch buried lines in Easton, and the towers shown for Deerfield are able to be fitted with an additional 3 arms to support a second 345 KV circuit. Please explain.
Sam Johnson.
The answer is no. This will be a single circuit DC and a single circuit AC. The ducts that you're referring to in Easton, there's there's two conductors, a positive and a negative conductor. In essence, it's a single circuit made up of two conductors. In the southern portion in Deerfield, the way that the design is configured does not allow for any expansion of those towers due to clearance limits from an electrical standpoint. So the answer is no.